Hey, everybody. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Pep Talk. This is the podcast that gives you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We take all these complex medical and health and wellness conversations and topics. We break them down into real simple, understandable, manageable segments. And then we try to give you action steps to empower yourself because we know that self-care is the real healthcare. And the more you know how to take care of yourself, the better it is. I'm Dr. Eric Napudi. I'm going to be your host today, taking you down this amazing journey. We're going to be talking about something that is, near and dear to my heart. I actually have been fighting about this and standing up about this for a long time. And it's about fluoride. It's about your kids and it's about their IQ. Did you know? Listen to this. A new U.S. government study reports that high levels of fluoride in drinking water could lower children's IQ. This is the first time federal agency has confirmed a connection between consuming twice the recommended amount of fluoride and reduced intelligence in children. The concern is that children and pregnant women, by the way, this is another massive concern, are getting too much levels of fluoride in the body. So check this out. This is important. This has been all over the news. We've been talking about this for a while. I've been reporting on this now. 2 years ago, there was a study done by the EPA. The EPA just released the study recently, and the studies, they've been sitting on it for 2 years. So your own Environmental Protection Agency says, look, here's the deal. We know there's fluoride in your water. We know that we're putting it there. We know that there's fluoride in a lot of your food. There's fluoride in a lot of your bottled water. There's fluoride in a lot of the cosmetic procedures you do and stuff for your mouth and your teeth and your toothpaste. But we now know that there's no safe level of fluoride in the human body. By the way, if anybody's ever seen fluoride, like a fluoride by itself for sale, it's got the skull and crossbones on it, which means what? Danger, danger, danger. So why would anybody assume that putting fluoride in your water would be healthy for you? We now know that the reason why they say that is because it supposedly strengthens the teeth and the bones and et cetera. Well, it can do that in some cases, but is the juice worth the squeeze? Now look at this. The report's findings, this is pretty wild. The report's findings are based on studies conducted from countries including Canada, China, Mexico, and the U.S., where fluoride levels in drinking water exceed 1.5 milligrams per liter, much more than the recommended 0.7 milligrams per liter in the U.S. While these reports didn't necessarily clarify how low the IQ went, but children could have lost anywhere between 12 and 15 points from their IQ. New evidence suggests raises high concern that chlorid fluoride levels in water are not safe and healthy. They're not. It's a problem. Fluoride is a known carcinogen. Fluoride is a known endocrine disruptor, and we know that it can cause neurological delays, not just in young humans, children, but in fetuses. And pregnant women are starting to have issues with that as well. So what do we do? First of all, you do everything you can to avoid the fluoride and the chlorine in water. What do? You have a whole home, hopefully, filtration system. And there's lots of them out there on the market. I think a lot of them are great. You just want to make sure that you can have one that's been proven with testing that it reduces chloride and fluoride in your drinking water. The chlorine and fluoride. And not just in the drinking water. I have it on my water spigot, but I also have it on the water that we bathe in because you're going to absorb this stuff through your skin. So when you shower in it or bathe in it, that's problematic as well. So we want to try to avoid this as best we can. You guys know that I'm a big fan of filtration systems that pull out the chlorine, the fluoride, and then remineralize the water with healthy minerals. And if you can, put hydrogen inside that that water. Hydrogen-infused water is really a powerful tool. So I like that first and foremost. But what are some action steps that you can take? I wrote some down. So here are some things you can do to detoxify your body. Obviously, number one is avoiding exposure the best you can. But we live in a toxic world, and you should be taking something on a regular basis and doing things on a regular basis to detoxify your body. So here's number one. One of the best ways to detoxify your body is intermittent fasting. We've often talked about the benefits of intermittent fasting, and I've done podcasts on that. Intermittent fasting is where you go from eating within about a 18 to 20 hour window, fasting between an 18 and 20 hour window, and you're eating within about a 4 hour to a 6 hour window. That's ideal. Most people do that by skipping their morning meal. having a lunch and a dinner within that 4 to 6 hour window, or having their breakfast and lunch within that 4 to 6 hour window and skipping their dinner. And you need to understand that intermittent fasting is all about controlling insulin, blood sugar levels, and allowing the body the opportunity to heal itself. We know the recent studies have shown that the longer you fast, the more it gives the body the potential to heal itself. The body, after 24 hours of fasting, can increase stem cell production. Autophagy increases, which is the turnover of new healthy cells. So we know that there are a massive amount of health benefits to do that. So I would encourage you to start understanding the process of intermittent fasting and putting that into your daily routine, because we store a lot of our toxins in the fat cells of our body. And when we, when we're not consuming the amount of chemicals and calories that we normally do, that gives our body a chance, number one, to detoxify those. So it's a massive biohack. Start implementing intermittent fasting and work your way up to, you know, prolonged fasting. Maybe instead of going 2 meals a day, work yourself up to then 1 meal a day, and then maybe one every other day, and then doing a 2-day to 3-day water fast is powerful. And then ultimately learning how to do even a dry fast for 24 to 48 hours. But you got to build yourself up to it. Don't just go cold turkey at it. Build yourself up. And yes, all people can do this and can do it very healthy. I can't tell you how many people that are diabetics and insulin dependent folks and folks that have all kinds of problems that I've been able to walk them through intermittent fasting, and they've really helped themselves. Number two, write this down. Cold exposure. A lot of you guys love cryotherapy and cold plunges, or even a cold shower, or taking your face and sticking it into a pool of cold water can help you. We know that exposure to cold temperatures can stimulate the lymphatic system, reduces inflammation, improves fat cell mobilization and detoxification of the body. There's many other things it can do, like improving the parasympathetic nervous system, balancing out the vagus nerve, improving digestion and brain function. So I'm a huge fan of cold plunges and cold exposure. You know, my opinion, the colder the better. 45 degrees or less is really a good place to be, but there's variable research that shows different levels of cold affect different people. And by the way, if you have adrenal issues or even severe hormonal issues, you're going to have to baby step your way into cold. You might go from hot to warm to cool to cold. You know what I mean? Like, it's a process. Go at your own pace, because the human body will adapt to that change over time, and you'll see some positive influences. Number three, infrared saunas. I'm a huge fan of infrared sauna. Infrared sauna helps the body sweat out toxins, promote circulation, enhance the detoxification. Powerful. And the data is clear. You know, if you are doing 20 minutes a week of saunas, the improved detoxification, the reduced inflammation has been powerful. The best benefits are 20 to 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times per week. That's typically what I like to do. Is I like to do 20 to 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week. I would encourage you, if you can, get a nice infrared sauna in your home or go somewhere where you can utilize this regularly. Man, here's a simple, easy one. Something called dry brushing. Have you ever heard of this term, dry brushing? Dry brushing is literally taking a comb or a brush and just brushing your skin down, brushing, you know, down this way, down the side of the neck, down the arm, down the belly, down the legs. Brushing does multiple things. It stimulates the lymphatic system, helps the body detoxify. The lymph system is so important. But it also helps balance out overstimulation of nerve endings in the body. People have chronic pain. People have sensory processing issues. But man, this is a powerful detoxification. It removes skin cells, debris, improves circulation. Very powerful, powerful tool. One more, rebounding or doing a trampoline. Like, I have a rebounder at home, and I typically rebound for about 3 to 5 minutes daily. And all it is jumping up and down on a rebounding machine that helps pull the toxins out of the body. And then last but not least, having some type of a chemical compound, a nutraceutical or a nutrient you can take that detoxifies the body. I'm a big fan of having things like activated charcoal, clinoptilite zeolite, having things like carbon 60, a shilajit is powerful, diatomaceous earth. But if you can have a product that combines all those together that helps pull that stuff out of the cell, helps bind the toxins and comes out in your system, that really can help you a tremendous, tremendous amount. Incorporating these biohacks into your system are really powerful. But really the key is avoiding the exposure to those compounds. And now, you know, avoiding compounds, not just the fluoride and chlorine, but heavy metals. There's a massive class action lawsuit happening right now because of some of the most well-known baby formula products on the market have allowed heavy metals to be introduced into the baby formula. And by the way, when those companies were asked, why did you do this? Their response was, well, the FDA and EPA allows just a little bit, so this is okay, right? No, it's not. We're seeing the same thing happen. We're seeing neurological decline. We're seeing people not being able to develop like they're supposed to because of heavy metal toxins. By the way, have you ever heard of that term, mad as a hatter? Do you know where that comes from? You know, back in the day when hatters, people that made a hat out of, you know, beaver pelts and other animals, they used mercury and it would make them go crazy. Which is why back in the day, dentists had one of the highest rates of suicide because they were exposed to mercury all the time. And we still are exposed to mercury to this day. Certain drugs have it. Certain vaccines have it. Certain people get amalgam and mercury fillings still to this day in their teeth. It is in our food supply. There are things we can do to mitigate that and to remove that from our system. By the way, I think it's also important to note that there's even class action lawsuits right now going on with Tylenol, because Tylenol taken during pregnancy has shown to decrease the ability of glutathione in the body. And I hear people say all the time, it's safe as a Tylenol. Well, 17,000 people a year go to the hospital or die because of Tylenol. It's one of the leading causes of ringing in the ears. It's one of the leading causes of liver problems. And it's one of the leading causes of kidney failure. Now we know that if you're taking Tylenol, during pregnancy, you have a higher risk of having problems with that child. It shuts down the glutathione pathway. That's why it's so important to have a genetic profile. If you knew like you had an MTHFR gene positive, you know that Tylenol is kryptonite for you. So there's so many things that you can learn about yourself if you go down the road of self-exploration, and the truth will set you free if you'll let it. So listen, I started out the conversation on high fluoride linked to lower IQs with kids. We're now seeing 1 in 24 children. Listen to this. 1 in 24 kids are being diagnosed with autism or something on the autism spectrum. And if we keep doing what we've always done, we're going to always get what we've always gotten. And now we see more increased chronic illness in adults and children than ever before. Please, let's stop living on the insane asylum and let's start getting back to common sense action steps and common sense thinking. And it all starts with knowledge. Knowledge is power, but wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to your life. So listen, I hope you enjoyed this. I want to make sure you share this with your friends and family members. Go to our website, go to peptalk.com. That's peptalk.com. You got questions about your health? Go there and go to the Ask Dr. Eric aspect. Go and share all this stuff on social media platforms. Like us, tag us, and share these videos with your friends and family, because knowledge is power, but wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, is taking that knowledge and applying it to your life. Until we meet again, I'm Dr. Eric Napudi. God bless you. God bless America, and God bless the world. Stay smart out there, folks, and I'll see you soon. Be well.